This book contains several inserts like charts, tables, and illustrations. To view these, please refer to the supplemental PDF available with this audiobook. Penguin Random House presents The Corporate Life Cycle: Business, Investment, and Management Implications. Written by Aswath Damodaran. Read by Sahil Thanthia. To Michelle, Rebecca, and Kendra, who, as amazing school teachers, work much harder in the classroom than I ever do, and to Noah and Lily, two of my favorite people in the world. Preface. In every discipline, practitioners search for a framework that helps them explain the whys, the why nots, and the what ifs of that discipline. In corporate finance and valuation, there have been many attempts to build such universal theories, and, in my view, the structure that offers the most promise is the corporate life cycle, where companies go through the cycle of being born, growing up, growing old, and, eventually, perishing. It is one that I have found myself coming back to repeatedly as I try to understand the behavior and the misbehavior of businesses, differences across investing perspectives, and the allure of the next big thing. The corporate life cycle. The place to start this journey is with an understanding of how companies age and the transitions they go through, and I try to provide that in the following picture. Please refer to Preface 1.1. The Corporate Life Cycle, in the supplemental PDF provided with this audiobook. A business startup is like a baby with a high mortality risk. Despite the care and attention paid to it, if a new business makes it from concept to product, it is already an exception. And in young growth, it tries to find a business model that works with all the logistical challenges involved. If successful, it enters the high growth phase, with revenues accelerating, though profits usually lag, and the business will require capital infusions to keep growing. The most successful of these companies will be able to build working business models, wherein profits start to catch up to revenues, and not only will these businesses be able to self-fund, you will see the beginnings of cash flow payoffs to owners and other capital providers. While the very best of these mature businesses can extend this phase of glory, middle age eventually comes to every business, bringing slowing growth but solid profits and cash flows. Being middle-aged is far less exciting than being young, but after middle age comes worse. As businesses age and find their markets shrinking and profits fading, they reach their end. The corporate life cycle resembles the human life cycle in its arc. And just as humans try to fend off aging and death with plastic surgery and personal trainers, companies do the same, with consultants and bankers offering them expensive and fruitless ways of becoming young again. A journey through the book. In the first part of this book, I describe the corporate life cycle, including the markers that tell you where a particular company falls in its life cycle and the forces that determine how the shape and timing of life cycles vary across different types of businesses. I also look at the transition points where businesses move from one stage to another in their life cycle and the challenges they face in making these changes. Please refer to Preface 1.2, The Corporate Life Cycle, Drivers and Determinants, in the supplemental PDF provided with this audiobook. In the second part of the book, I use the corporate life cycle to explain how and why the focus of a business should change as the company ages, with young companies ideally being almost entirely centered on finding good investments, mature companies looking at changing financing mix and type, and declining companies deciding how to return cash most efficiently I use this framework to argue that the most destructive acts in business occur when companies refuse to act their age, behaving in ways that are incompatible with where they are in the life cycle, and often spending large sums in this endeavor. Please refer to Preface 1.3, Corporate Finance Across the Life Cycle, in the supplemental PDF provided with this audiobook. In the third part of the book, I use the corporate life cycle to illustrate the challenges of valuing businesses as they move through the life cycle. With young companies, the biggest barriers are the absence of information on the workings of their business models and the uncertainties about how these models will evolve in the future. With mature companies, the main challenges are an over-reliance on past information and the assumption that what worked in the past will continue to work in the future. With declining companies, key struggle in valuation is the unwillingness to even consider the possibility that over time, companies can shrink and go out of existence. In response, analysts often concoct shortcuts and turn to pricing companies and the use of pricing metrics, where the scalar changes from users and subscribers for young companies to earnings for mature businesses to book value for declining firms. Please refer to Preface 1.4, Narratives Across the Life Cycle, in the supplemental PDF provided with this audiobook. In the book's fourth part, the corporate life cycle comes into play in explaining differences in investment philosophies and, in particular, the divide between growth and value investing. Value investing, at least in the form in which it is practiced today, with an emphasis on earnings and book value, will lead its followers to mature companies, while growth investing's focus will be on companies earlier in the life cycle. In fact, the life cycle provides caveats for each group regarding the risks in their respective philosophies. Growth investors risk overpaying for what they perceive as young growth companies just before they transition to middle age, and value investors are in danger of pumping money into mature companies as they shift into decline. In the fifth part of the book, I look at insights and extensions for managers that can come out of the corporate life cycle. I first explore what makes for a great manager and argue that the one-size-fits-all narrative of management does not work, since the skill sets needed to run a young growth company are different from those needed in a mature company. I also look at the dreams of rebirth and reincarnation that excite managers at mature companies and the lessons that can be learned from the few companies that have succeeded in such endeavors and the many that have failed. Finally, I examine how the shift away from manufacturing and toward technology in the global economy has altered and shortened corporate life cycles, and why much of what we accept as good business practice has not kept up with these changes. Chapter 1. The Search for a Unifying Theory. It is the dream of many researchers and practitioners, whatever their field of study, to come up with a construct that explains all observed behavior and a template for forecasting future behavior. In the physical sciences, that search is abetted by nature, which imposes its order on observed phenomena, allowing for cleaner tests of any theory. In the social sciences, the search has been less focused, partly because human behavior does not always follow predictable patterns. It is easy to understand why we search for universal theories that explain everything, since they offer the promise of restoring order to chaos, but that search comes with risk. The most significant risk is overreach. Sensible theories get pushed to their breaking point and beyond in order to explain phenomena that they were never meant to cover. Once a theory becomes prevailing wisdom in a discipline, the temptation to use it to explain everything becomes overwhelming.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?